Okay, hold. All right, we're good to go. One of these days I'll learn how to use this thing correctly, but we'll see. Okay, so last week I was out. Mitchell taught the Bible conference stuff. I hope that went well. I heard good things about it. So the Bible conference is coming up here in a couple weeks. So review, back to Genesis. We are in Genesis chapter 30. And so today, it's a fairly long chapter, and I've read this thing a ton of times, and it's an interesting story if you're into dysfunctional families. But it's really hard to find. So I told you when we were going to go through Genesis, right, that I would give you what's going on, right? Because some of the stuff, it's like, I don't really quite understand what's going on. So today's going to be more historical, why whatever is happening is actually happening. And I'm also going to try to throw something in there for you that you can take home with you. But there's going to be quite a bit of reading today because I want to get through the whole chapter and we'll get rolling. But we are getting into the good part of Genesis. Not that any of it's bad, but the part where it really starts taking off as a real storybook with the life of Joseph and whatnot. So today, what I want you to get, so if you want to take notes, I don't care. I'm not much of a note taker myself, but just two, you know, usually I've got like a list of 9 or 10 or 12 or whatever it works out. Today I got two things, two heart problems to avoid so you can keep your identity in Christ. Two heart problems to avoid so you can keep your identity in Christ. And so we've been going through Genesis and, bless you, we've been going through Genesis and, you know, you've got, I've never seen a sneeze be so funny in my life. Okay, and so we went through and you had Abraham and all the struggles of Abraham. And, you know, he was a faithful dude, don't get me wrong. And two heart problems to avoid so you can keep your identity in Christ. Okay, I know it's kind of wordy. It is what it is. My brain was not really flowing the way that I wanted it to when I was trying to get all this worked out. Hello, Miss Becky. We went through that. You got Abraham, then you went into Isaac, and you know how he ended up where he was, and we're rolling all the way through, and so you get to Jacob, right? And we looked at Jacob and his brother, and you know he stole his brother's blessing, and you can go back and listen to all that. I don't want to spend time reviewing because we really don't have time today. But so last week we looked at, or not, I guess it was the week before last. The last time we were in Genesis, we looked at the story of Jacob. He gets sent out, and he goes to Laban, his uncle, you know, because it's completely normal to, and I'm not even going to get into that. So anyway, he goes to Uncle Laban, and he finds his daughter to be very good looking. Her name is Rachel, and he really wants to marry her. And he's like, okay, serve me 7 years, and I'll give you your wife. And he's like, okay, no problem. He does the seven-year thing. Here's your wife. You know, I'm guessing it was dark and a veil. And so anyway, he got the wrong sister. Her name was Leah. And you can go back and listen to the whole thing. And so he serves another 7 years because he's really after Rachel. So you can already see that there's going to be problems in the Jacob household and whatever's going on. So we looked at 9 questions to ask yourself when you're looking for a spouse. And you can go back and look into all that. But I do want to pick up in chapter 29 at the very end of it, and we'll get rolling. So in chapter 29, so that was kind of getting you to where we are. He's got two wives now. He served the years for them, and you get to verse 31 in chapter 29, and it says, and the Lord saw that Leah was hated, not only by her sister, but by now her husband, you know, because he was like, I don't even want this one, I want the other sister, messed up deal, right? And the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, if you know anything about that time, being barren was a very looked down upon type of thing. We'll get more into that here in a little bit. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again. Jacob must not have not liked her too much. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name is called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. I think it's interesting that it took till the 4th one for her to praise the Lord for the issue, but anyway. it says, and she praised the Lord, therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So you got the family issues going on, right? And you've got the weird, it's just an odd story, right? And so this is how God kind of steps in and says, okay, I'm going to work this thing out. Leah, the hated sister, she's going to be the one who bears children. So that rolls right into chapter 30. I wanted to kind of share that before we got into chapter 30. So let's pray and we'll get rolling. Father God, I love you. I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word, Lord, just the way that it transforms our lives day in and day out. Lord, I do thank you for the Passpoint class and just those who are faithful to come and hear your word and just be part of the family here. Lord, I thank you for those who are in the ministry just serving week in and week out. Lord, I do thank you for Tom and Beck and their time that they were in the Passpoint class, and more importantly, the time that they just ministered to you for the several years they were at Heartland. Lord, I do pray that you would just send them in a way that you would just be completely all over everything that's going on in Las Cruces, Lord. I pray that you do sell the house quickly. I pray that things go, the transition is smooth, that everything goes according to your will, Lord. And I do pray that your word is preached, discipleship is started, and Lord, that the kingdom is glorified because of this. So, Lord, I just thank you for them and what they've done. I pray you just bless your word today. Put me out of the way. I don't have a whole lot to say here, but your word's got a lot. So, pray you just put me out of the way and speak through me in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so that was kind of the backstory, the fast-forwarded version of the backstory of how we got to where we're at today. And so this chapter, chapter 30, kind of breaks into two parts. And I want to spend most of my time on the first part, and we might blow through the second part because it's just God's blessing on Jacob's life. It's crazy how this family, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and continuing on through the rest of it, even with Joseph, and how when they make really stupid decisions, God just continues to bless it. Because you know what? He's going to bless those who are of him, that have his name, right? He promised Abraham, I will bless you, I will use you, and he does it. Even when they do things that aren't that smart, and we've got the same thing. When we take the name Christian, when we decide I'm going to follow Christ, we can do some really stupid things. And it's not like we should, but God doesn't write us off. He just says, okay, get it right next time, right? And you move on and you learn from it, you repent, you get right, and you keep moving, right? There's no reason to be stuck in your sin, stuck in the mud. You just keep moving, and that's kind of a good point of what you got here. So you get into chapter 30, right? And so it says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Now, it's just an odd way of... And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, right? I guess he wasn't too happy with her that day, and said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? It's just a really, so she's like, you really loved me more. And he's like, well, give me some kids then, right? Give me some boys, you know, because at the time they were always after the boys. So here's the first thing that you got to know, the first heart problem you got to avoid. Don't let your envy of someone else change who you are in Christ. Don't let your envy of someone else change who you are in Christ. Rachel was so envious of her sister. She totally forgot who she was. She was the favored wife. She was the chosen one. She was everything in her husband's eyes. And she totally forgot that because she wasn't getting everything, right? She wasn't getting everything. You can't let your envy of someone else change who you are. And I know at the time it has nothing to do with being in Christ, but I'm trying to relate it to us, right? We sometimes get so wrapped up in what somebody else has or what somebody else is getting that we totally forget what we have, which is everything in Christ. We totally forget that. We get so wrapped up in our problems and our own little world and, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, that you forget that God created the sky. And if he wants to let it fall, he will, but it doesn't change the fact of who you are in him, right? You are, I say this at work a lot of times because I work for a bigger company now, but it makes so much more sense in this context. You are a little fish in a very big pond, right? When it comes to the family of Christ. But you know what? You're in there. You're a part of it. And that doesn't change, right? You're a little part of what God's doing in a very big scheme of things. Don't get so caught up in your own little world that you forget about how that goes. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of flesh, right? Somebody who has a sound heart, right, is the life of flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Somebody with rotten, I can't even imagine that. Somebody with rotten bones, though, you can't even hardly trip, or you're going to fall and break a bone or something, right? That's what envy does to you. It just rots you from the inside out, right? So here's a couple things about envy, right? First off, when she says in verse 1, she says, "And Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. She envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.'" What is she talking about when she says, "or else I die"? When you read that, what do you think? Because I did learn some cool things, you know, about the times when I was kind of studying some of this out. Because generally in today's society, you're like, who cares? You can't have kids, you know. There's all kinds of options. It's no big deal, right? But in that culture, when she says, "or else I die," a woman who could not bear children to her husband was as good as a dead woman. She was good for nothing. That's how the culture looked on them. They just, if you can't bear children, if you can't bear sons to continue on the name, you were good for nothing. That's what she's talking about. Or else I die, right? She's like, if you can't, and then he gets mad. He's like, what do I have anything to do with it? It seems to be working with your sister. I mean, he doesn't say that, but I'm guessing at some point that, you know, something is, are you sure I'm the problem? You know, and the one thing that I do catch out of that is he recognizes that God is the one who gives and takes away. God's the one who does that, right? So, here's a couple things that envy will do to you. Envy will breed anger. Envy will breed anger, not only in yourself, but in other people. In verse 2, it says, "And Jacob's anger was kindled because she's envious." You know, I'm sure it wasn't from lack of trying, if I was just guessing that she wasn't having children. So I'm just judging by the way that kids just keep happening in this chapter. I doubt it's from lack of action. So, excuse me. He's like, his anger is kindled. Envy will breed anger. He says, his anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from me the fruit of thy womb?" He's asking her, he's like, are you sure that I'm the one you need to be questioning right now? Although I don't think I'd question God either, but here's another thing envy will do. Envy will cause bad decisions. Envy will cause you to make bad decisions. And here, let me show you what I'm talking about. Because I just really doubt that this was God's will for the whole situation. In verse 3, he says, "Who hath withheld thee from thee the fruit of thy womb?" And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to do something about it. In verse 3, and she said, "Behold my maid, Bilhah." I don't know what her name is. Anyway, "Go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may have children by her." Really? And she gave in Bilhah her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went into her. I don't see him thinking, huh, this is a bad idea. I think he got that from Grandpa Abraham, but anyway, it just didn't seem like the greatest idea, right? Envy will cause you to make bad decisions. When you get so wrapped up in what somebody else has, or what somebody else, you're so wrapped up in it, you'll do whatever it takes to get what you want. Even if you look back later and you're like, that was really dumb. Did I really do that? You know, that was really the things that we will do to get what we want, right? Envy will cause bad decisions. Here's another thing, envy, or here, real quick, upon my knees. What does that mean? This was really interesting unto me. When he says that, go into her and she shall bear upon my knees that I may have children by her. What does that mean? Anybody even have a guess?
I have a guess.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's right, but no. I've been watching this show on Netflix.
Oh, gosh.
Handmaid's Tale. And it's kind of the same scenario. These handmaids would have children on behalf of these elite people who couldn't. Mm-hmm. And they would literally do the thing while the woman was, like, holding the handmaid. Like, she was right there with everything.
From what I read, from what I studied, from what I gathered, was when it says that, and she shall bear upon my knees, basically, she sits on her lap. So as she gives birth, it is as it came from her. Not sure. I'm just saying, when you read this, I promised when I went through Genesis, I would tell you what was going on. When it says, she shall bear upon my knees, well, that's what that means, right? Either that or what I read was a complete lie. But anyway, So that's what they're talking about, right? So just envy will cause bad decisions. Let's just leave it at that. Right? So here's another thing envy will do. Envy will bring division. And you're like, well, duh. No, it will. It will bring some pretty hardcore division. Verse 5, it says, "And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said," and this is a complete side study you could do, but just the things that these sisters say after each child was said, it's just interesting, their take on all these. So anyway, "And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son." So I guess it worked pretty good the first time, so let's just keep doing it. "And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister." There's a lot of division here. "And I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. Right? And so it will bring division. Your envy of somebody else, your envy of what somebody else wants, and the measures you will take, the steps you will take to go get it, it's going to cause division, right? It's going to cause division in your family. It's going to cause division in your ministry. It's going to cause division in the church, right? When you want something so bad and you want to... all it does is cause division. You know, the sisters could have been like, "Hey, we're married to this guy, but it doesn't have to be this way. You know, what in the world?" But they're so wrapped up in what they want that they'll do anything. "Here, I have a really great idea. I'm already having to share you with my sister, so here, let's throw my handmaid in the mix, because that just seems logical, right? I just don't understand it." There's a lot of babies running around there, and it just keeps getting worse, right? Genesis 37. I missed that. Genesis 37, 10 and 11. Talking about Joseph. This is a few chapters ahead. It says, "And he told it to his father," talking about the dream, "and to his brother. And his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and my brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? It says, and his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying," right? Envy is going to cause division. If you know anything about the story, the next verse is where the brothers decide, "Hey, I got a really good idea. Let's throw Joseph in the pit and leave him for dead." Envy causes division. That's just what happens, right? That's just what happens. And we'll get to that story here coming up, because that's where I really love the life of Joseph. So, you know, envy, you can't let envy take control of your life, because it will take control of who you are in Christ. You will totally forget that what you have, you will forget the standing that you have. Rachel was the chosen wife. She was the what the Bible says is the beautiful sister. She had everything going for her, apparently. And she totally forgot who she was and the promises that were given unto her, because she wasn't getting what she wanted right then. There's going to be times that God is going to have us wait it out a little bit. And it's not fun. But that's what he's going to have us do, right? So don't let envy, don't let you looking at somebody else's life and say, "Man, I want that." Well, who knows what they had to go through to get where they are? Or who knows what God is taking them through right now that you don't understand? So be careful wanting what somebody else has, because you may not want what they have at the end of the day, right? There's times I say this lightly, just kind of joking, like Brady works with me, but some of the guys at work, like, "You got it easy, man. All you do is ride around in the truck." And I told the guys the other day, I'm like, "I really hope that that's what you guys think I do. If you think that I've got just the best job ever, then I'm doing my job well. Because that means I'm taking what I know that I'm getting, and it's not getting passed on to you." So I'm like, that is how it should be, right? Just don't ever envy somebody because you think they got it good, because you don't really know for sure what they have going on, right? And that's just a really practical example. So, okay, here's the second one. The second heart problem to avoid, right? Don't let your jealousy of someone else change who you are in Christ. Right? And you might be like, "Well, envy is the same thing as jealousy, isn't it?" Not completely. They're close. They're close, but I think jealousy is what you're going to start seeing out of Leah, the other sister. Envy was more, "I want what you have." Jealousy is something a little bit different, right? "I want your standing. I want your..." Don't let your jealousy of someone else change who you are in Christ. Verse 9. I lost where I was. Here we go. 9's after 8, if you were wondering. It says, so Leah had the 4 sons, right? And it said she left bearing. So she's got 4 sons. Everything's going pretty good. Well, now she's all up in arms because her sisters found out a way to have sons. And I'm guessing Jacob's thinking it's a pretty good deal too. So now she's got to come up with something, because now all of a sudden she's not important anymore, right? So, verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. "We work for my sister." At some point, you have to step back and say, did he not have anything to say about any of this? Anyway. Verse 10. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. So I'm telling you, some of the things they say is great. And she called his name Gad. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she named called his name Asher. Jealousy, here's some things about jealousy that you're going to find, right? Jealousy brings a lack of contentment. Jealousy brings a lack of contentment, right? 1 Timothy 6:6-7 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can take nothing out, right? Something that I had to learn, and it's really easy to do when, I mean, it's not like things in my life are, I've got it pretty good. I'll be the first one to tell you. God has totally blessed me in ways that I can't even explain. But be content with where you're at, with whatever that is, wherever God has you. Just be content with it, because it makes life a lot easier. It makes life a lot more fun, right? Instead of always wanting the next thing, always striving for the next thing. It's always good to want to be better, but be content with where you're at, right? God put you there for a reason. And when I finally realized that, when I finally said, you know what, if this is where God wants me, then I wanted to go and be the next great thing. And that's a good thing to be, right? I wanted to go, and who knows, God may take us somewhere crazy. You know, we may go to London. We may go to who knows where. I wanted to be the next great thing for God. And God was finally like, hey, just be content with where you're at, because I've got plans for you. And when you step back and you do that, and you're just like, all right, it makes life easy. It makes life fun. You can really enjoy what he has for you, right? You look around and you're like, wow, I've got these kids that I totally forgot that I, not that I forgot that I had them, but I'm like, why don't I invest in them? And why don't I, so be content with where you're at, because God's got you there for a reason, right? Jealousy brings a lack of contentment, right? Here's another thing jealousy will do. Jealousy causes division. Well, that's a lot like envy, right? It's a lot like envy. Jealousy causes division. Verse 14. And Reuben, this was one of the four sons previous. He's probably, if you're wondering, because I know you are, he's probably about 5 years old at this point. And Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. Because they've got such a great relationship going on, I'm sure that this is... We'll get to that. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Would thou also take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Verse 16, and Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come into me. For surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. So, because I didn't really completely understand it either, I looked it up because I knew somebody would ask the question, what is a mandrake?
Did it bring up Harry Potter?
I thought it was maybe a bird. I don't know. No, it's not. It is a fruit. A mandrake is a fruit. And in Bible times or ancient times or whatever you want to call it, they were known as the romance fruit.
An aphrodisiac.
It is an aphrodisiac, that's exactly the word, to bring fertility. And so Rachel, knowing that she really, really wanted to have a son of her own, not just through her maid, you know, because it's just like sin. You want something so bad that you'll do anything to get it, and then when you do what you shouldn't have done, you're like, that really wasn't as gratifying as I hoped it would be, right? So she sees the mandrakes, and she's like, I need some of those because they will make me fertile. Because she forgets that God's the one who allows that to happen. So she goes to Leah, hey, I really want your son's mandrakes that he found. And Leah says, well, sure, why not? You know, because you've already taken my husband, and so why don't you just go ahead and take these two? And so basically the way that it happens is she tells Rachel, fine, if you want the mandrakes, that's fine, but I get in when he gets home. Because I'm guessing that every night he went home to Rachel instead of Leah. So she says, so that's when it says, I have hired you to come and be my husband tonight. That's what they're talking about.
And Jacob goes, okay.
Yeah, and Jacob's like, okay. Right? Yeah. So anyway, that's what's happening. So just so you know, it causes division, right? Jealousy causes division. If you're walking through your walk in Christ, what in the world? If you're going through your walk in Christ and you, it looked like you had like scissors in your pen or something. I don't know what you had going on. Anyway, you're going through your walk in Christ and you're so jealous of what somebody else has, or it's going to bring division. It's not a good way to go through life. It's just not, right? It's not. Here's the last thing jealousy will do, because I needed to have three of them, right? Because that's just what you're supposed to have, right? Jealousy ultimately leads to disappointment. Jealousy will always ultimately lead to disappointment. Verse 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived. So I guess the hiring out the mandrake thing worked out pretty good for her. And she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given to me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar, I don't know. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. Holy smokes. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. Meaning that obviously he was not dwelling with her. You can cross-reference that into one who dwells with his wife in the New Testament if you want to do a good study there. I didn't have time. I knew I didn't have time. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Okay, so real quick, because you might just think, how are all the boys just keep happening? There were probably several daughters. And actually, if you go back and look at the lineage, there were several daughters. The only reason that Dinah is brought up is because here in a couple chapters, you'll find out. But so anyway.
What did Rachel do with the mandrakes?
Well, I think she thought that it... I don't know. Apparently, she forgot that they didn't work like they were supposed to. So anyway, when jealousy is the driving factor for you doing what you're doing, it's always going to lead to disappointment. When you doing what you're doing is because you're jealous, because you want something, because if you've got a false motive, it's never going to work out. It's just not. It never will. Right? If you're only serving in the ministry because you want something somebody else has, if you're only submitting to your husband, if you're only loving your wife, if you're only doing these things at work, if you're only doing any of that stuff because of your jealousy, because you're wanting something somebody else has, it's always going to lead to disappointment. Every time. That's just the way it is. Every single time. That's the way it is. I'm telling you, it's a messed up family. Right? And if you let envy and jealousy rule your life, they will eat you from the inside out. It will cause a root of bitterness inside of you that won't pull up, right? And so you have to let those things go. You have to, all right? Okay, so we've got like 14 minutes left. I'm going to blow through the rest of the chapter, tell you kind of what's going on, and we'll be done. But that's kind of what we had with the crazy family issues going on, right? Verse 22, okay? And God remembered Rachel. Because I guess he forgot about her, right? And God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. Meaning she's not as good as dead anymore. And she called his name Joseph and said, because, you know, you would think you would say, praise the Lord, you know, anything. But the thing that she says after she finally gets a son is interesting to me. The Lord shall add to me another son. The one that she got already isn't enough. She's already looking for the next, right? And that's just interesting, because when we want something so bad from God, when we want something so bad in our life, and we'll do anything for it, when you actually get it, do you just praise the Lord that you got it, or are you already looking for the next thing? Because that's generally what happens. When you finally get it, and it's like, well, it's about time, God. Okay, now what's next? What attitude do you have? Because we can't have that attitude, and sometimes we do. Sometimes I do, right? You'll wait so long for something, you'll do anything for it, and when you finally get it, it's already on to the next thing. Okay, moving on. So, you got all the kids. And it came to pass, I'm just going to kind of read through the rest of this and kind of explain what's going on. That way you kind of know, and we'll move on to the next chapter next week. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, you know, Uncle Laban, send me away that I may go into my place and into my country. So he had served the extra 7 years. So now he's got two wives. two sister wives, or I don't know what else you'd call them, handmaids, and 11 kids at the point, 11 boys, not including the girls, right? So you got a pretty good family going on. So he says that I may go into my own place in my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done unto thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Laban's like, you know what, I'd rather you stay. Because when you're here, God's blessing me. Because if you go back, it's kind of part of the covenant. God's going to bless everything that this family touches, right? And so Laban's like, I'd rather you stay. You know, what's it going to take? What do I need to give you? And he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. He's like, whatever it takes, you know. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. You just need to stick around because when you're here, God's blessing me. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. So he was a shepherd, a herdsman, right? He's taking care of the cattle. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and now it is increased into a multitude. And the Lord said, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? He's like, Laban, you know that you didn't have a whole lot when I got here, and since I've been here, God's blessed it. So let me go. You know, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go. I've got to go actually at some point go and be able to provide for my own, right? I want to get my own cattle and my own flocks and have my own house, right? That's what he's trying to tell him. I want to be, instead of just God's blessing just continuing to bless you, I want it to, you know, be able to bless me. I want to start making some of my own money is what he's telling Uncle Laban. Verse 31, and he said, what shall I give thee? Laban's like, come on now. What's it going to take, right? He says, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. I don't want nothing. Just let me go. He says, but if thou do this one thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. He's like, you know what? I'll stick around for a while if you'll do this one thing because I'm ready to start having something of my own instead of just taking care of your animals. This is what I want. And it seems like a pretty good deal, and I'll explain it here in a minute. Verse 32 says, and I will pass through all thy flocks today and removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and all the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come to my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and among the sheep, thou shalt be counted as stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So basically here's what he says. If you want me to stick around for a while, I'll stay for a little bit longer, but I have to start actually gaining some of my own wealth instead of just continuing to bless you. So he says, here's what I'll do. He makes him a pretty good deal. He says, because not only he's taking care of the cattle, the sheep, and the goats probably. At the time, that's what they're taking care of. So he says, here's what we'll do. From anything that's born from now on, just give me the not-so-good stuff. I want the stuff that's speckled and spotted and ring-shanked and whatever else that means. I thought those were nails, but anyway, you know, you got ring-shanked nails. They stick in tighter. But anyway, he's like, you just give me the ones that aren't so good. That's all I want, you know, for the next however long, and all the good stuff you can keep. And he's like, I'll even sweeten the deal for you. What we'll do is we'll go through the flocks right now, and any of them that are speckled or spotted or ring-shanked or, you know, whatever, we'll pull them out of the flock, and you can take them aside, and I only want the ones that come out of the clean ones that are that way. You know, because if you know anything about genetics generally, you know, you put two clean cows together, you're going to get two black cows together, you don't generally get a red cow. Doesn't usually work. So he says, we'll take all of those kind out, put them to the side, and I just want the ones that come out of the good ones. If they come out weird, speckled, spotted, those can be mine. Right? And that's the deal he makes. And Laban's like, well, that probably won't be very many. And you're gonna take care of all this? Okay. Sounds great, right? Sounds great. Sounds like he makes him a pretty good deal. And it says in verse 35, and he removed that day the he-goats and that were ring-shanked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sons, and gave it to them and his hand's sons. And this is what Laban did. And he says, and he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So Laban's like, just in case you're going to try to trick me, and when I'm not around, you're going to bring some of the speckled ones in and breed them so you can get some of yours out, I'm going to take them 3 days away. So there's no way that you can kind of fool me here, right? There's no, so that's what's going on. That's the deal he makes. Verse 37, because this is what God does. When you're faithful to God, even with your four wives, and when you're faithful to God and you're one of God's chosen, he blesses you. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear, which was in the rod. And he set the rods which had peeled before the flocks and the gutters and the watering trough when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-strength and speckled and spotted. Just the kind that he gets to keep. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring-strength and all the brown of the flocks of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not under Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before their eyes and the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Verse 43 says, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and asses. So God continues to bless him. Even when he makes a deal that shouldn't work, God just continues to bless it. Over and over again. Over and over again. When you decide, I'm going to stick with Christ. When you decide, you know what? I don't have to have the best deal in the world. I don't have to have the best job in the world. I don't have to have the best circumstances in the world. I'm just going to serve God right here where I'm at. And if he chooses to bless me, then that's great. And if not, that's great. When you're content with what God has given you, good things happen. Not always. I'm not trying to preach some prosperity God. If you're just content with what you've got, God will take care of it, right? It's just being content. He's like, you know what, Laban? You take all the weird ones, the deformed ones, you take them over there, and if there's any of them that come out like that, I'll take them. And by the end of the chapter, it says he's got more cattle than Laban had, more everything than Laban had. Men, God is continuing to grow his wealth, right? When you're faithful to God, when you take what you are in Christ and you're just content with it, God blesses that thing, right? And so we'll get more into how the story all plays out next week and how, you know, now he's got 11 sons and going to be more coming, right? So it gets really good, but those are two things, you know, envy and jealousy. You find right there out of those two sisters that they could have worked something out. They could have been like, you know what, this is a really messed up deal, but let's make the best out of it. Instead, it became a competition. It became, I want, you want, you know. Rachel envies her sister because she wants the children she's got. And Leah she's completely jealous of Rachel because her husband wants nothing to do with her, right? You can't even give him any kids and he still wants to sleep with you every night, right? It's just a messed up thing. And so when you look around the church and you're like, well, I want what that guy's got, or I want what that guy's got, or I want to be like her, and just be like what God made you to be like. And try that out for a while and see how it goes, right? Because you're going to find out that when you just decide to be content with where you're at, God blesses that thing. Over and over and over again, he blesses that thing, right? So that's all I got. We're done. don't get used to it. We're done a few minutes early. Don't forget the reception after church. Stick around. Love on Tom and Beck. You guys are you're sticking around for a while. Is that correct? You have the house on the market yet? Not yet. So I just have a feeling that that thing's going to go quick, knowing where it's at and everything else. So, but do pray for that, guys. Pray that the house sells. Pray that, pray selfishly like Tom and Beck probably are. Pray that the girls go with them, and that, you know, God blesses that thing, because it's exciting. It really is. This is just like when Brad and Annie and Tyler and Jen and all them went out. It's really an awesome thing, but man, it's hard. So just pray for them, because this is what God designed for us to do, to come, to get trained up, to be used, and to be sent out, right? And Tom has invested his butt off, and Beck has invested her butt off in so many people, and it's like, okay, now do what we've told you to do, or we're going to go teach some other people. So it's exciting. So let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I do thank you for the investment of Tom and Becky Fort, Lord, and to my life and my wife's life in particular. And Lord, I just do thank you for what they've meant to this body, Lord, and I do look forward to what you're going to do through them and the body of Las Cruces, Lord. I do pray that the discipleship ministry just takes off Lord, I do pray that the word of God is preached boldly. Lord, I pray that you use them in a mighty way. Lord, I do I pray that just the logistics happen, Lord, the things that we don't really think too much about. I pray the house sells, Lord. I pray that the girls decide to go with them, Lord, and I pray that the moving and everything like that happens smoothly, Lord, and that you're glorified through all of that. I do pray that you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, Lord. I thank you for the Passpoint class and just the family that they are. And Lord, I pray that you just be used of us, use us this week of you. So, Lord, I pray you just send us out and just preach to us today through Brian. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.